Welcome to the show. You know where you are. Expert talk with me, Tigo. That's right. And you know what I love to do. Come on now. You know what I love to do. I love bringing experts on the show from all walks of life that can shine a little light on the path that you may be on today, or you may be thinking about being on, or maybe in this case, because of who we got coming up, maybe you're in corporate America and you're thinking about breaking out. Or maybe you're in corporate America and you're thinking about, hey, it's almost coming to the other side of this COVID thing. How do I grow? How do I connect? How do I expand my reach? I got the expert for you that may be able to answer that question. Today, we have Ryan Staley on the show, and he's going to come on and we're going to talk about that four-letter word that some of y'all go, oh, Tigo, I don't like it. We're going to talk about sales, because you guys know that sale to me is a good word, because I believe it means service. And I think he feels the same way. So sit right there. We'll be right back.
Expert Talk is brought to you in part by Pod Nation TV, the podcast to broadcast network. Expert Talk is produced and distributed by Melrose 11 LLC. Lights, cameras, take action with Melrose 11.
Welcome to the show.
I am really excited to be on. I mean, for multiple reasons. Your energy. I mean, you've had amazing guests on, and just really excited where you're taking the show and where you're taking things to the next level.
I appreciate that, man. I appreciate that. Now, you know, I try to be as transparent as I can, and I don't sit here and pretend like, oh, I just met you at the grocery store. I tell people how I connect. And you and I are in the same training together. We're in a little thing called Two Comma. And that's where we met, you know, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, I've met some amazing people. You know, I've met you and I've met a lot of other folks. They're just really, really good people. So communities, coaching groups, whatever you name it, masterminds, awesome place to meet people.
Yeah, I think it's a great way to network and connect with folks that have kind of the like mind. Some are in front of you, some are trailblazing behind you coming up, but we can kind of share those thoughts and go through it. But I got to ask you, you know, how important is coaching? Like, do you get to a certain level and say, I don't need coaching anymore? Or is this something that's part of your everyday?
Oh, it's totally part of everyday. I have a little bit of a sickness related to growth. You know what I mean? Like, it's kind of a disease. But there's always another level. And I say that like kind of jokingly, but half serious, right? Just because like, so here, let me tell you, this will give you some insight into my background too. But this kind of changed everything for me. So I've always been one of those people that always tries to always, I guess, let me take a step back. Always was hard work was like the main vehicle that I used to achieve the next level or basically accomplish something or get that raise or increase salary or make big sales, right? And so about 6 years ago, something like where that basically broke. It just didn't work. I outlived my useful life on that. And what I mean by that was I basically got thrown into a leadership role about 9.5 years ago, about 4.5, 5 years into it. Basically, I was working so much that all my relationships started to melt down. So my personal relationships, you know, with my family was non-existent for my friends. And it was just one of those things because work was my everything, right? I had two little kids at the time and it really hit me like right between the forehead. It was like a sledgehammer when I came home from work one day and I was super excited. I was traveling a lot and I went to give my daughter a hug, who was only 2 years old, and she would not give me a hug at all.
Ooh.
Yeah. So I got the cold shoulder. She wouldn't even come by me. So that opened up my eyes. I went in, basically checked out a personal development event for 3 days, which I had never even heard the words personal and development put together prior to that. And then from that point forward, it totally transformed my life and how I look at it and my view of the world. And spoiler alert, you know, I have an amazing relationship with my daughter now. I reprioritize things. And it basically, just by doing that and not just focusing on work, it helped me take things hundreds of levels higher than I ever could if I only focused on work. So,
yeah, I know that feeling. We have a grandson that's going to be 2 and just a little over a month. And when he hasn't been over, you know, for a few weeks, you go to grab him and you're like, come here. He's like, you know, in his world, you know, a week or two is a lifetime. And he's like, I don't know you anymore. And you got to spend that time to get to know him. I know how that feels for me as a grandparent. I cannot imagine how that would feel as a parent, you know, to have your kid kind of go, wait a minute, you've been gone for a minute. I don't know about you.
Oh, yeah. I mean, she was asleep. I was awake, or I should say I was around for probably 15 minutes a day when she was awake. Oh, so, like, you know, it's just, and, you know, little kids spell love with another word, and it's T-I-M-E, right? It's how much time you spend with them. That's directly what they correlate when they're younger. Mm-hmm. So anyways, it was a big eye opener. Love coaching, love growth, love masterminds. I'm in multiple ones. And I love making those, like, I've had amazing impacts. So I love trying to help other people have those same impacts as well. So they don't have to learn the hard way and take 10, 20 years to figure something out, that if they could take a month or 2 months, if they just had the right guidance.
Yeah, really. You know, I tell people all the time that it took me 18 years plus to learn what I'm doing right now. And now I have people in my world that I'm teaching them in 18, you know, literally 18 weeks, 18 months, you know, and they're cutting straight through the red tape and getting to the meat of it, as we like to talk about. But I got to ask you, you know, I know that, and this is kind of veering off the road a little bit, but I know there's somebody out there who's in corporate America who may be a major marketing executive and is, you know, dreading the fact that the country is about to open up again. They're going to have to get off the Zoom calls and back on the airplanes and get back out there. And they're thinking, maybe I want to branch out on my own. Maybe I want to, you know, have my own business or do something else. What would you say to that person right now?
Yeah. So, and I'll tell you, this is this one thing, if they do this, this could open up a lot of opportunities in their life, not just for relationships, but overall happiness for them. And so once I started to have, especially for hard driving type A achiever types. So if that's you, listen really closely right now.
Love it.
So I'm sorry. I'm a little theatrical. I'm a little bit of a cartoon character. So it's real simple. So every week, most of the time, folks in business, especially CEOs, I work with a lot of CEOs. I coach basically CEOs on how to scale revenue. And so what you'll see is they'll be so focused on their business. Entrepreneurs will be so focused on their business. Corporate VPs, corporate directors, whatever. Anybody who starts to get to a certain level, the business will just keep taking from you. And so what I started to do is have the same level of intensity on my personal life as I did with my work life. And so the simple thing that I did is every week and every month, every year, every 90 days, should have been like day, week, month, 90 days, years, probably the way you look at it, right? But I had goals for elements of my personal life, just like I did for business and income and career. So I had, hey, relationship goals. I had live life goals. So those are like bucket list item adventures that you could do where you don't need to wait till you're right about to retire. And then just overall fun things, right? So once I started making those a priority and making those the big rocks in my week, then they started to happen a lot more frequently. And I started to connect with people more. And here's the funny thing. I was less focused on work, but I got better results at work.
Oh, that's
interesting. I got better results in my career. Yeah.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, just because you're filled up, right? You can only serve people at the highest level if you're serving yourself at the highest level. And so that's really like where that mindset comes from. And it works really well. And it's really simple and anybody can do it.
Now, you know, you say this and of course, you know, you even said the words, it's really simple, you know, but is it really simple? Because there are people that are terrified to cut back. They're afraid they're going to lose it all, you know, that they won't have the next great commission. They won't reach that, you know, top salesperson or, you know, number one company in their industry or whatever, because they took out time to spend time with their kids or spend time with their family. But then time, trust me, I know I'm 57 years old and it feels like I was 30 yesterday. So time goes like that, whether you like it or not. And if they don't take the time and spend the time, that kid that's two will be 22. And soon you'll be, you know, trying to get attention from him or her. And they'll be like, I can't this week, Dad. I've got work. I've got travel. I've got my own life now. You've missed that time. You know, how do you take the bite, you know, and just go, this is how I'm going to balance out my life. You know, how do you do that?
Yeah, I think you just like anything else that you're trying to do when you're trying to implement a change. And I use this for programs I implement with folks. It's from the book called Tiny Habits. Have you ever heard of Tiny Habits at all before?
No, I haven't, but I'm going to check it out.
Yeah, it's an awesome book. It's really thick. But basically, two students from Stanford University created a company that they later sold 18 months later for $1.8 billion. And those were the founders of Instagram. And the behavior design, what's that?
I was going to say, was that Instagram?
Yeah, it was Instagram. So it's a good guess there. But the behavior design for that was based on Tiny Habits. And then Tiny Habits was also, it's by a guy named BJ Fogg, who basically looked at his entire life around behavior design. It actually was the research behind Atomic Habits, which most people have heard of, right? So anyways, where I was going with this is just start really small and make it simple. And he gives the example of like, you know, like if you want to start flossing your teeth on a daily basis and you don't do it, start with one tooth, right? Which sounds like totally ridiculous, but it's the fact of just like starting at the simplest level so that you have literally no excuse not to do it, right? So I gave you looking at an annual, just start with a day, right? And say, okay, tomorrow, you know, I have my business goals. What's my one personal goal that I want to do that's going to enrich my relationships or it's going to make me happy, right? And just do that day over day for a week. And then you can start to expand into looking at it weekly and longer timeframes. But that's just super simple. That's all I would say. And the more important thing to do is you got to have your reasons behind it, right? Like action isn't just willpower. It's making it super simple. Like I mentioned with Tiny Habits. However, the other aspect is really, really understanding and identifying why that's important to you. Because and I was watching something from Elrod the other day, which has got some great stuff. And one of the things that he identified was that essentially, like basically most of the time, people are trying to achieve and hit a certain goal because they think it'll make them happy. And they think it'll offset something inside of them that they're not feeling fulfilled with. And he's like, most of the time, you don't need that thing to feel fulfilled. You just need to take action and take hold of what's right in front of you and appreciate that. So,
no, I 100% agree with you. I truly agree with you. But I got to ask, you know, you come off as this very organized guy. You know, come off super nice guy, but this very organized guy. But I want to know who Ryan was when he was 12. You know, were you playing sports? Were you like doing the parents' taxes? What were you doing at 12?
No, I wasn't. So let's see, 12. So I wore Husky pants until seventh grade. So right around that time, I was not a natural born athlete. I always had to bust my butt to like get normal results. I played sports. I played football. I played basketball. I played baseball. And however, I really gravitated towards football. So I did that, I had a paper route. That was probably my first job for a little thing called the Penny Saver.
I remember that.
Remember the Penny Saver?
Yeah, I remember that.
You know what the worst thing was for the Penny? It was like basically this newspaper just full of a ton of ads, right?
A ton of ads, yeah.
Just like a pile of ads, like a phone book of ads, right? And it would cost a penny. And the funny thing was, there's just people that like their door was open. You go there, you go to ring the doorbell to collect, right? Because you had to collect, couldn't just deliver. And when you went to go do that, like people would pretend like they're not home. You're like, dude, your door's open. It's like a freaking penny. Like, and I'm a little kid, like cut me some slack, right? You know, it's like, so anyways, so I progressed from there, went into high school. High school was great. I eventually, and I'm talking like a career path. I still played football. We won state, we're nationally ranked. I went into playing college. And then, but however, in the career front, relative to like folks listening, is I started off as a busboy, which super excited about. But that was like $375 an hour plus tips. So I wasn't like killing it money-wise. From there, and you'll laugh about this story, Tigo, is I was literally going and I was driving home from the busboy job. And this is how I knew like sales was meant for me, right? Driving home from the busboy job and I saw the sign. And I just told you, I was making $375 an hour plus tips, right? Just, you know, you literally smell like fried food and Italian food, which Italian food's good, but when it's just caked all over you, anyways. Basically I saw a sign, $17.95 an hour for this job, come apply. So I'm like, okay, I'm going to apply to this, right? This is going to be amazing. I can't wait to see what it is. So I go in, right? I'm wearing like my dad's suit that's too big on me. I got this like briefcase, like with nothing in it, right? Just trying to look formal. I'm like, this is legit. I'm like, right at that, I just turned 16. And so I go in and like, they give this presentation and they talk about it. And they're like asking if people have questions. And I was asking questions because I had no idea what the hell was going on. And so the guy pulls me aside. He's like, hey, you know what? I really like the questions that you were asking. I wanted to pull you in this interview room. I'm like, okay, cool. So what do you think the job was?
Shackley.
No, you're going down the right path though. It was for a company called Vector Marketing, which sounds totally made up, and it was selling Cutco knives.
So I remember Cutco knives.
So they offered me the job and I'm like, oh, this, you know, I crushed it. Right. You know, I think they probably offered like 99% of the people the job there. Cause basically you get paid that hourly wage. However, like you basically had to hit up all your parents and sell them some knives.
Right.
So that was the deal. So I'm so excited. I had the minivan with wood grain siding that I was driving. Right. So excited. I backed up like super fast. Crashed into a pole and I'm like, oh, this stinks, right? Went home, tell my parents, I'm like, you know, two things. One, you know, I got this job offer. It's amazing. It's going to be just unbelievable. And they're like, well, what is it? And so I explained it to them. And they're like, what's the other thing? They're like, well, I kind of backed into the car into a pole on accident and had that. Well, come find out, spoiler alert, two things happened. One, they did not let me take the job because basically they didn't want me hitting up their friends and pumping their friends' legs, if you will. And number two is that was probably like $600 worth of damage in the car. So at first I was like, I'm making thousands of dollars. It doesn't matter, but that kind of stunk. So that showed that I had something inside me for earning basically on your performance. And so that led me down the road of sales later that led to kind of where I'm at today.
I love it. That's okay. I gotta ask. I know other people are asking and they're wondering, did you ever do network marketing? Is that ever anything that you did?
No, I never did that. I did have multiple character building jobs though, but I never did network marketing. I sold yellow page advertising door to door for Northwestern University. And no, I'm not 100 years old. This was just like a college job, right? And then I also worked at like a boiler room where I made like 250 phone calls a day. So those were like my two character building jobs before I started to get more into like corporate and commercial. But yeah, I mean, there's the funny thing about it is those jobs sucked at the time and they were hard, but they're really, really incredible for building character and basic foundational skills to what would lead to deals as big as $20 million that we would close later.
Ooh, we're going to get into that in a minute after the break. You know, but I know that my mother said that I came here selling. You know, they adopted me when I was 6 months old. They were planning on adopting other children and they met me. And she's like, you sold me just looking at me. So she says, you are a natural born salesperson. I came here selling. I know there are people out there that feel like they're naturally born to market, sell, be out there. They love, you know, interacting with people. It's not as like it was when I was a kid. You know, when I was younger, it was hardcore selling. You know, you didn't care if you paid the mortgage or not. You want to buy this today kind of a thing. Now it's more relationship. You know, the more relationships you have, the more connected you are. it's not as hard as it used to be. My question to you is, there's somebody out there right now that maybe did a paper up, that maybe has on a suit that is too big, that belonged to their dad, and they're realizing that, you know, maybe I should be in sales. Maybe Ryan's talking to me. How do you get started today if you think sales and marketing is your calling?
Yeah, I think there's so many entry-level jobs out there because there's not a lot of formalized education on sales specifically. Marketing is starting to like have that. Sales, there's pieces of it. But like literally, if you want to do that, you could try and start off with something like I did. I mean, that job where I was making $250 a day, I got paid $1,500 a month and it was a draw, right? Mm-hmm. So there's a little risk you could take, but when you're starting off, it's totally worth it because you're going to make exponentially more than if you're in a fixed position that isn't based on the outcomes you create. So plus there's so much content online that you could learn for free. So there's no real excuses on why you can't make it a reality.
Wow. Okay. See, we got to go to break, but before we go, I looked at your LinkedIn. I did my research. Y'all know how Tego do. I have to go do the research so I know what to ask the questions. And in my research, I found something very, very interesting about you, young man.
Uh-oh.
Dog dad. You literally have it listed.
Dog dad, yeah.
Dog dad.
Yeah.
Okay, so who's the dog? And come on, share. I mean, they made it to the LinkedIn. We got to know.
His name is Larry. You know, his name is Larry. He's a French bulldog. And he gets winded when I take him for 3 to 4 block walk and it's above 60 degrees. He farts a lot, makes a lot of noises, but he's highly entertaining, adorable, and just a loving dog. So that's why he made the stats. He's a great little dude.
See, you're just a loving dad and a softy all the way around. I see how
I am softy.
So we're going to take a quick break, but you guys don't want to go anywhere because when we come back, we're going to talk about three little numbers. 150. No, not 150 bucks, not 150 jobs, not 150 sales, but $150 million. No, we didn't win the lottery. You're going to have to come back and find out what that's all about. So sit right there. We'll be right back.
Expert Talk is brought to you in part by PodNation TV, the podcast to broadcast network.
Are you there? Are you there? Are you waiting? You want to know what this $150 million is? No, I'm not loaning you money. And maybe Ryan can loan me money. Okay, never mind. Ryan.
Yes.
You generated $150 million in sales.
Yes.
There was a plus there. I mean, $150 million plus?
Yeah, totally.
Okay, talk to me. How'd you do it? What is it? I'm confused.
Yeah. It was really, really interesting because you know how, I mean, you hear all the sayings, right? Out of your mess is your message, right? And a lot of sayings around that, like when things go worse for you, usually there's something beautiful on the other side. And so what happened was most recently about 6.5 years ago, like, and that transition I was telling you about that we kicked things off where I'm like, everything was like tanking, right? Mm-hmm. Where I had to take a step back and reevaluate everything. What happened was basically I essentially got demoted at that point because I was such a jerk to be around because I was unhappy. So nobody on my team wanted to work for me. And they're like, okay, Ryan, you're not going to do that anymore. We're going to have you as a sales management overlay and you're going to start, you're really good at selling big deals. So we're going to start that from, we want you to start a team around that, right? And just start with people. Well, okay. This is what happened. So we did that and it was so hard at first. I had no team. We had no budget. We had no marketing. That's the funny thing. We had no marketing either. We were in a declining market. It wasn't like a sexy technology like blockchain or artificial intelligence or virtual reality. It wasn't anything like that.
Okay.
It was really around a solution that was a managed services around how people print. And so essentially we had to basically, I had to find a way and create our own playbook from scratch on how we could start selling to really big companies doing that. So
printing.
Like basically printers, like printers with supplies and service and analytics.
I don't know about anybody else. Did y'all think he was going there? I didn't think he was going there. Okay, continue.
We had to get the most influential, the most powerful people in the Fortune 500, Fortune 1000 to pay attention to that, right? So not just to pay attention to it, but to invest their team and their resources to make that happen and completely change the way that they were doing things outside of everything else that they had going on. So as you can imagine, this isn't naturally on the top 5, 10, 20, 30, even 100 list of priorities. So what we did is we did numerous things, and it was a constant evaluation of how to approach it. But what I realized, you brought this up at the beginning, is that a lot of companies, when they're selling larger solutions, and what I mean by larger solutions is deals that are over $40,000 or $100,000 or $200,000, they have a sales methodology. They have a sales process, right? And then sometimes they go through what to say, when to say it, right? Mm-hmm. However, one of the things that they don't execute on throughout that is basically an overall strategy of the account, right? And within that strategy, there's two factors. There's like the business case logic aspect of it. And then there's a relationship strategy with the emotions attached to it. Not mm-hmm. just that one person, which is what most people do, but we would be dealing with anywhere from 14 to 17, sometimes even 30 people where they would be involved. So we essentially had to find out and I understand what was a unique driver and what was important to every single one of those people that was involved. Stack okay. rank who is the most important to focus on based on their level of authority and interest in the project, but then also emotionally connect to all of those people in their own unique way and present the solution so that they were super excited and it was a win for them, not just as a company, but personally so that they would support it. So I would say a mix of all of that enabled us to get over 35, $500,000 plus deals with companies like Amazon, Whole Foods, Bed Bath & Beyond, companies like Burlington Coat, you know, really big name companies. And as a result of it, we grew that in over a period of about 5.5 years from 0 to 30 million annual recurring revenue with an additional 30 million in capital revenue with only 4 salespeople.
Wait, my headphones must be broken. 4 people?
4 people, yeah, 4 salespeople, that's it.
You did all that with 4 people?
Yep, 4 people.
Wow, that's amazing. That's unheard of. And I truly was waiting for you to say AI or you were working on films in Hollywood or I didn't see printing coming. I swear to goodness, I did not see printing coming. So once you've done that, is the trail of sales of other projects, you kind of go, well, heck, I did it with printing. I can do it with almost anything now.
Yeah, well, and here's the thing. Everybody thinks that sales is like voodoo magic. Right. Or it's, I don't know. It's an art, and there are components of art to it. However, it's also a science. There's an operating system with the way people make decisions and how they act in certain situations. At the same time, there's a way that you can connect with them emotionally. And so by combining those two and putting in a repeatable process, it's a system really. And so that's what I'm helping companies implement so that they could leverage the first principles I use, whether it be scaling customer to customer referrals, whether it be continually upselling and expanding existing customers, or whether it be what I call whale scaling, which is that leveling up where if your average deal size is 100,000, it goes to 200,000 to 500,000 to a million plus, and really design strategies around doing that and executing on those in 3 months or less, so that you can get that repeatable result year over year.
Wow. I read in one of your, I think it was on LinkedIn, there was a phrase that I just loved, process, not event. What does that mean to you?
Yeah, that just means like a lot of people, like I'll give you an example, a real simple example of that is like, okay, if you're in sales, you got to be like a hard closer, right? and if you're dealing with higher dollar amounts, which is predominantly the area that I focus on usually like with clients, 30,000, 40,000 or more. Really what it is like, you know, that process might take 3 months to get that done. So closing the deal is not what you said in meeting seven. It's what you said on meeting one through seven and what you did in between meeting one through seven. So it's really like leading up to it that results in that close in that time frame.
Yeah, when I was a sales director back in the day, I used to tell people it's not Kool-Aid. You just don't add it to water and stir. You got to do the work. You got to build the relationship. People are not just, you know, flying money out of a window. You got to get there. So you mentioned earlier about education and that there really isn't a lot of education out there for sales, but is there coaching? You're a coach. Do you coach sales?
So there's a small select group of like individual contributors. I still coach just legacy, like folks that I know. But right now what I'm doing is I am essentially through consulting. It's like outcome-based consulting is what I look at it. Is I coach CEOs on how to implement these systems in their company. So these sales systems, how do they implement those so they could systemize their sales, right? So however, I do have something coming up, which it's not out there, but I'll throw it out there for you. I'm gonna do a 5-day challenge on basically referrals for revenue. So it's gonna be a referrals for revenue challenge. I think there's a lot of folks that are underserved in terms of understanding how to grow their business. So it's a challenge that's going to show people how they could instantly start doing that by leveraging one of the most important lifebloods of any business, and that's the relationships that they've built with their customers.
I love that. Please keep us posted on when you're doing it, because I probably should be sitting in there as well. I always like expanding my growth and learning new things and making sure I'm on the right path, because, you know, referrals are super important, always have been for me in business. But I'm sure there's things that you're going to share that I'm going to go, and y'all know Tigo loves to say, So you also have your own podcast show, correct?
Yes, I do. It is called Sales and Marketing Built Freedom, which I don't know when this is going to air exactly, but there's a good chance I'm going to relaunch it. Just due to the new focus that I've had, because I've had I've had some amazing guests just like you, Tigo, which I'm going to find a way to get you on the show. So I had the you're like, huh, me? This little me? I had like the CEO and founder of Travelocity and Kayak on there. I've had folks that created an exchange in terms of selling your company. It's called MicroAcquire. That's absolutely blowing up. All sorts of interesting, amazing people. However, the design, what it is, it's built for CEOs or revenue leaders that really want to learn how to grow their business and can take actual insights from every episode.
Yeah, you got to relaunch that, because I want to be a guest. What do we have to do? I got to get there. That's really, really important. You know, before I let you get out of here, and as I like to say, let you get out of the hot seat, you know, I got to ask, because there are small entrepreneurs out there that have great products, great services. They're amazing people. They're terrified of that four-letter word, sale. Mm-hmm. They're afraid to ask for it. They're afraid to even pursue it. What advice, little tip, would you give somebody who's, I know you focus on CEOs that are boom, but if they're just starting out, especially if they started their business during COVID and now they're trying to figure out how to grow it, now that things are opening up, what little advice would you give them?
Yeah. So for anyone that's afraid of sales or they're not completely comfortable with it, like selling is serving at the highest level, because, and I know you had Myron on your show as a guest. And
we have a couple of times, and I'm hoping I can get my brother Myron back on here, because he's doing some amazing things right now, but go ahead.
He's awesome, man. Just a great dude. And he's I'm in his mastermind as well, which I highly recommend to anybody. However, one of the things that he says is like, any, you know, and if people have to get the mindset shift, and I'll give like two really easy tactical things that you can do, is one is like, hey, what's the best vacation that you've ever had? What's, you know, the best, you know, your house or your favorite food that you've eaten? The only reason why that's happened is because somebody sold you something. So think, if you look at it through that lens of really like enabling people to have things that they want that they might not have had exposure to, That's really insightful. And then what I would say tactically is like two things. All sales are these two things, right? All it is. And this is direct selling. This isn't selling at scale. So direct selling, when you're talking one-on-one, is asking questions and listening, right? That's one. I guess that's three things. Asking questions, listening. And then after you hear the feedback, and is relating what outcomes you could create based on the feedback that they gave you that they need. That's it.
I love it. I love it. That is so true. I couldn't think of a better way to end, you know, this interview this time, because I know we're going to get questions, and I'm going to have the world's greatest dog dad come back on and just talk about, you know, the next levels, because people are, you know, terrified from all levels on expanding their reach through sales and marketing. But if you don't use sales and marketing, how do you expand your reach? I'm just saying. I want to thank you so much for coming on and spending a little time with us. And I'm looking forward to you, put it out there now. I'm looking forward to you relaunching your podcast and, you know, me being able to add it to my resume that I was a guest. Yeah, I got to sit up straight when I talk about that. I'm truly looking forward to it. You're an amazing dude. Thank you so much for being on.
Oh, thanks for having me on. It was a lot of fun. I love just like your intricacies. And I mean that in a positive way, the little lead-ins. You do a great job. So keep it up. Keep it up. This show is going to grow and amazing things are in store for you.
All right, you guys, we just had the world's greatest dog dad on, who also happened to help people generate $150 million in sales. So don't get stuck where you are. Don't think you've hit the top, because the only lid above you is the lid you put there. Let's just put it there. My aunt told me a long time ago, there's no lid over you, kid. And I live that way every day. I hope you will too. As always, I'm Tego, and I'll talk to you next time.